Pode trazer. Baruch Hashem, even though we are still in Golis, the Beis HaMikdash has not been built, but we're zeicha to be back in Eretz Yisrael, one of the great miracles of modern history. Back in Eretz Yisrael, the language revived, Klal Yisrael after the Holocaust, from the ashes of the Holocaust, Baruch Hashem, all the yeshivas and kollelim, both the midrashes, seminarium, everything, Baruch Hashem. And kamuvan, Eretz Yisrael, one of the special things about Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah of Shemitah. It's even a timely thing to talk about Shemitah right now, because we know that the Torah says that the golus of Klal Yisrael from Eretz Yisrael was partly because of the fact that we did not keep Shemitah. Oz Tiltza, Oz Shaps Yisrael. The idea behind it, and the most simple understanding is that just like we have one day a week that we take rest from our work to show that we're not the one who is keeping the world going, we take off and Hashem keeps the world going, so too in Eretz Yisrael, it's our land. But it's really like Hoshbohu's land. He's the one who keeps the land going. And we see that, Baruch Hashem, the tremendous Siyata Deshamayis and Nisan that we have in Mamash on a day-to-day level here in Eretz Yisrael. But I'll call upon him. The idea of Shemitah Sa'aretz is, under natural means, a person's working the land, he won't stop for 1 year, ever. By the fact that we stop once every 7 years, we're showing that Kili Ha'aretz, the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's such an important mitzvah. It's a demonstration that we have it right to all 7 years. The Maisa, over 100 years ago, when Baruch Hashem was Zeicha, the first waves of Jews started coming into Eretz Yisrael, the discussion of can we have Shemitah in the modern era over here in Eretz Yisrael, is it possible to do it? Is it not possible to do it? And Lamaisa, in the very beginning, there was a little try, but as we know, by and large, most of the farmers, except for one or two kibbutzim, were not shomer Torah mitzvahs. And to be able to shomer Shemitah in the proper fashion just wasn't possible. And various gedolim from different parts of the world were starved to it. A concept that was today called the Heta Mechira, which we're not going to get involved in. That's a very complicated thing. It's much more complicated than Mechiras Chometz, because there's a lot of other problems that you don't have by Mechiras Chometz. But I call upon him, even Rav Kook, who was one of the ones who gave the Hechsher to it, he wrote clearly that there's only Hayroa Shoh. As much as it's necessary, rely on it. But if you can manage without it, about it, the idea of Shemitah is, as much as we can to show, like he's saying, we can refrain from what we normally do to show that Eretz Yisrael belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything's from him. That's what we're trying to do. So it's important, our mind frame coming into Shemitah, that we have various things. We're not farmers over here, but some of us have gardens, some of us have plants inside the house, and then it comes close to Shemitah, Mitzvah will speak again, or somebody else will speak again about what type of produce, yes to buy, not to buy. So there's one mind frame that, okay, we have this problem with Shemitah, let's see how we can get past it with the least damage. And there's another mahalach of saying, this is an opportunity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show that Liha Oretz and Adarabba, why should I look for all kind of loopholes? I'll do it as best as possible. It's interesting to note, by the way, that the revival of practical Shemitah in farms, which Kanai Nor over the years has expanded tremendously. Last Shemitah there were 300,000 dunams of farmland that kept Shemitah. And they're hoping for more this time, Yetz Hashem. It was a vision of a few individuals. One of them was, his name was the visionary, Chazon Ish, a man with a vision. So he had a vision that it's possible to have people being Shomer Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. And he, Davka, he passed on a lot of kulis. Not that he was held to, was matter something that was also, but he took a more lenient stance on many things because he wanted to make it workable, doable. So, I'll call upon him. That's what's in front of us. Okay. Now, as far as we'll start with what's more to get to us, I don't think anybody here has farms, But if you do have a garden, and sometimes even if you don't have a garden, if you live in a building, and there's a garden in front of the building, and the vada buys space for it. So it's also something that the neighbors have to get together and have a mahalach, how to deal with it. So, Minatoira, there's two different basic ideas of not doing malach on Shemitah. There's one, the mitzvah loisase. The mitzvah loisase midrashis is only four malachas, which are also Minatoira, in the time when we had the Beis Hamikdash. Yisotra loisizra, you're not allowed planting. Sizmor, kamach loisizmor, you're not allowed to prune. I'll call upon him grapevines. The discussion if it's only grapevines or other things. So planting, pruning, and then there's two types of harvesting, which is a type of harvesting which is beneficial for the tree, or harvesting in the normal way you do all year round. This whole discussion what that type of harvesting is. But those are the four malachas that are also in our Torah. The drabonon, anything that is beneficial for that which is growing is also a drabonon. Now the truth is, mizmanazesh shmita, according to most opinions, and that's what we pass, is drabonon. But once again, shmita is drabonon. Like to eat a chicken cheeseburger is also only a drabonon. But I don't think anybody would eat it. So kamuvan shmita is it. It's an interesting thing that Chazon Ish said a chiddush also. Chazon Ish said, it says, Sivisis Bechosi. It says, if you keep Shemitah, then Hashem will give you a special bracha in your produce. And the Chazon Ish said that even though Shemitah is Derabbanan, but once the Chachomim enacted it, if one keeps it, he gets the bracha. So, once again, we have the Loisaseis, which is referring to planting things, primarily, and trimming trees. And then we have the Mitzvah the Shov Zohar, Shabbos Hashem. It says a positive command to keep the land at rest. Have the land, keep the land at rest. So the Shav Tzor Shabbos Hashem is no gay, even if I personally am not working the land, but I have to make sure also as much as I can that my land will not be worked. So like I said before, if you have your private garden, so it's only no gay to yourself working the land. But let's say you live in an apartment building and there's a garden in front of it, and you hire a gardener all year, you know, 6-7 years around. So it's important to make a cheshbon. Even though I am not planning to work the land, but if I have a gardener who's not doing things al pi halacha, so I am being over my own iser of not having my land rest. I'm a partner in this garden. And like I said, if another Jew is working it, that is also considered lack of shvisa. There's a whole discussion: how far do we take this concept of lack of shvisa? The land should not be worked on shmita. For example, if you take it to its extreme, so you can say, one second, if the land has to be at rest, so we have to pull out all the trees from the ground, because the trees in the ground, and it's also the land is working to keep the tree going. So obviously, that is not included. You know, there's no requirement to destroy anything that's that previously existed. But the Isser definitely does include the fact that another Jew is working my land, and there's a discussion, even if a guy works my land, is that also included in this Isser? Because, in other words, passive growth in your land is definitely not a problem. So that's still considered, your land is shoivis. It has to be shoivis from people working the land. And there's a discussion whether it applies just to a goy, a Jew, or even a goy. Kamuvan, to ask a goy to work the land is definitely also a kuleyama, because just like on every iser, like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a goy to do an iser. So also you're not allowed to ask a goy to do an iser on any land. So like I said, if you have a Vada Biden and you have something in front of you, a garden in front of it, you should make sure that you set up yourselves properly. It's your responsibility. You can't say, it's their responsibility. Everything will be right. This whole discussion, you know, if you live in a city, so the city belongs also to the members of the city. What's the responsibility to make sure the city keeps Shemitah? So Kamuvan, it's not in our hands anyway, so it's not in Nogei L'maisa. And as much as we can, we try to get the cities to be Shomer Shemitah to a certain extent. I know in the past Shemitahs in many of the cities, there was a certain plan worked out to try to keep it, and hopefully over here we'll be able to do it. But, you know, we do what we can. If you can't, you can't. There's no way out of it other than that. Okay, now we'll start from before Shemitah. Are there any halachas that are nigeya before Shemitah? And obviously, if I'm saying this year now, there must be something before Shemitah, otherwise I would push it off to Elul. What's the rush? So, the one halacha that we pass in is Nogeh before Shemitah is like this. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was something called Tosefes Shvi'is, which means that a period of time before Shemitah, you're ready, certain melachos are also. But that's only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But as Manu said, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, no Tosefes Shvi'is. So what do we have before Shemitah? It's one thing. If you have a tree that has fruit on it, so the halacha is, as we all know, if you plant a tree with fruit on it, or a fruit tree, the first 3 years it's orla, and then the fourth year it's neter avai. The first 3 years you're not allowed to eat the fruit. Now, how do you count the years of the first year, second year? So it's an interesting halacha. You don't need a full first year. If it was 30 days growing in the previous year, then when Rosh Hashanah comes, it's already considered the second year. Now, there's another thing is that it takes 2 weeks for it to take root. So basically, if I take a sapling and I put it into the ground, 2 weeks for it to take root, and then another 30 days afterwards is 30 days of the previous year. That's considered I have a full year. And when the next year starts, Rosh Hashanah, I'm starting my second year of that tree. What's the nafka min to Hilchos Shemitah? Nafka min to Hilchos Shemitah is like this. If I put the quarter of day, just for make it easy to remember, is two be'ov. You should, if you're planning to plant any fruit trees, you should have them planted before two be'ov. Why? Because after two be'ov, you're already running into a problem that when it comes Shemitah, you won't have those 2 weeks and a month. And then when Shemitah comes in, it will still be the first year of that tree. So what's the problem? The problem is, Chazal didn't want you to have a situation that when somebody asks you a year later, how did this tree? And you say, it's in its second year. Now the person knows that today it is a few months after Shemitah, which means if it has a second year, it seems to be that it was planted in Shemitah. In other words, if you have a tree that technically is going to be considered that its first year of life is in Shemitah, Chazal asked you to do such a situation because later on it's going to look as if it was planted in Shemitah, even though you happened to plant it before Shemitah. If one planted it after that period of time, or after two b'av, he has to uproot the tree. So that's the one thing that's nogea before Shemitah, that if you have, specifically fruit trees, because orla only applies to fruit trees. A fruit tree has to be planted before two b'av this year. Afterwards, you cannot plant it, and like I said, if it was planted, you have to uproot it. By the way, if you're buying fruit trees, it's important to check out that it doesn't have a problem of being grafted, kilayim. It's just in parentheses. But nowadays, it's very common that the fruit trees, the bottom part is one tree and the top part is another tree. They take a stronger tree on the bottom and they stick into a different tree. So sometimes it's the same, halachically the same min, which is not a problem. If you have a strong orange on the bottom and a weaker, more delicate orange on the top, it's no problem. They're all the same. But if it happens to be one type of, let's say, orange on the bottom and something else on the top, an apple on the top, that's a problem of kilayim. So you have to make sure, just as a general, nothing to do with Shemitah, just a general thing. Another thing, nogea, before Shemitah is a practical thing. We have, anybody who has a garden, or like we said, if you have a parking building with a ginah in front of the parking building, so you have a ganan, gardener. Now, the gardener has a challenge in Shemitah because he's going to get a lot less business in Shemitah. So first of all, it's g'day ready now to make up with your ganan what are your plans for Shemitah. There shouldn't be any surprises in the last minute, and also certain things you could plan in advance, and you could do things in advance which will save you problems in Shemitah should be done already now. Like the different types of trimming of trees should be done before Shemitah. You shouldn't wait till after Shemitah. As far as if you want to set up an irrigation system or putting fertilizer, if you could do it before Shemitah, but before Shemitah. If you have flowers that you put in, and generally you switch your flowers in the middle of the year. So this year, either make up that you're going to just have for half a year flowers or put in flowers that last a full year. However you do it, but I'm just think of the potential different situations of malachas that may have to be done in Shemitah and have them be done in advance as much as possible. It's also mitzvah taking into account the gardener. If everyone jumps at him a week before Shemitah, it'll be impossible for him to do what he has to do. So if we ready make up with him already now, it's more of a chance that things will be able to be done in the proper fashion. I'm going to say a comment now, which is not a halacha at all. It's just a thought, and you could do whatever you want with it. Like I said, if we're going to be, we want to take on all the chumras of Shemitah and have the gardener do the bare minimum. The Maisa, he's going to be losing a lot of his parnosa. So the truth is, if you're doing keeping things to minimum al Shemitah, so it's going to come out Matzah Shemitah, he's going to have a lot of extra work that he didn't have before. So, and to a certain degree, he's not losing out everything, but he's losing out a certain amount. So, if you can't afford this, don't do it. If you can afford it, I personally think it's a nice thing that if you make up with your gardener, if he's an honest person, which most of the gardeners are, some type of deal that, you know, I'll pay you something monthly so you should be able to go through the year, even though you can do less work, and we'll make up some type of cheshbon that I'll pay you a little bit more, and that it'll balance out with the extra work you do afterwards. However you make it up in a fashion that you even balikrato and give him a little bit more than maybe he will deserve according to the letter of the law, just to be mitchashev with him. I think it's a nice thing to help him go through Shemitah. But once again, that's not a pi halocha. That's just a thought and a feeling that I personally have. You're not required to do that at all. Yeah. Okay. Now, as far as the taking care of the gardens on Shemitah itself. So, like we said before, midaraisa, the only problem would be the planting and the pruning. But there's a lot of other things that people do here. You have watering and fertilizing, pesticides, these type of things. So the question, how do we deal with all these things? So midirabbanan, all these, all above are also. Now, anything that is done to make the tree grow better is also akopan midirabbanan. So if you water in a fashion that you make the tree grow very strong, or whatever it is you do, tie up the tree in a certain position, fertilize it. Any of the above can be nisid rabbanan. Just, there's a mission in Moed Katan that says that you are allowed to water a field that needs to be watered on Shemitah. So what's the idea behind it? So the idea behind it is that since these are anyway isirim derabbanan, I'm not talking about planting, we're talking about all the other type of upkeep of the trees. So isirim derabbanan, Chazal said that we don't want you to have to lose out your whole field and your trees and let everything die out in the course of Shemitah. So in order to preserve the fields and the gardens and everything else in the course of Shemitah, even though you're not going to do anything that's going to make it grow better, but things that prevent it from permanent damage are permitted. The Maisa, the Poskim learned that it's not lav davka, is something that it will die if you don't do it. Even if it won't die, but it will suffer some type of permanent damage, that's enough of a reason to permit you to do certain types of halachas and Shemitah. There's even a bigger chiddush, which the Chazon Ish held of also, and many other poskim held of, is that even if the tree itself will not die and won't be damaged, but it will lose all its produce, even the losing the entire produce of that year is also included in the type of hefsedim which permit you to do some of these halachas and rabbanim. So we'll go through the basics. Watering, like we said, that's a mufurish mishnah that is permitted to water. But once again, one should water sparingly enough to keep things healthy, but not to make it blossom. And yeah, that you could talk with your gardener in advance. They generally know the basic amounts that's required for a normal garden. If you get set up in advance that you have a computerized thing, and then you don't have to start watering in the middle of Shemitah Matoiv Manoim. If not, once again, as long as the amount of watering that is necessary to keep things in a healthy position is done, that's acceptable. Same thing goes for pesticides. If, once again, whatever you can do before Shemitah, do before Shemitah. If something's necessary, because if you don't do that, it will cause some type of permanent damage to the tree, or you'll lose your whole crop of fruit if you don't put pesticides, it's also permitted. If it'll just be a situation that the fruit will not look as nice as they should, that's not enough reason to permit pesticides. It's a whole thing with the esrogim and Shemitah. I don't think anybody here is growing Shemitah, growing esrogim. So because over there you have an interesting thing. Over there, if the bugs get to it or it gets punctured by a thorn, so the fruit is perfectly edible. But the ikar thing you're growing it for is for the mitzvah, and you can't use it for the mitzvah. Do we say the fact that it won't be usable for the mitzvah is enough of a reason to say that you're permitted to do these malachas, even if you will not do the malachas, you would be able to eat them? Or do we say no? That's not. Anyway, that's not nugget to us. So,
is there any difference between a fruit tree and a tree with a melody?
No. In other words, the general rule is that if it's going to cause some type of... The only difference between the two is in the fruit tree, you have the hechatim, so you're doing it for the fruit. But other than that, the rule is that if it's going to cause some type of permanent damage to the tree, if you don't do what you have to do to it, then it's permitted, and if not, it's also. Yeah, so as far as... Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that soon. Yeah, right now, I was talking about the heter of not because I'm doing it for ulterior motives, but the heter is because I want to prevent it from damage. So, like I said, if you have a tree that doesn't have any fruit on it, but it was attacked by some type of bugs or whatever it is, they can kill it or permanently damage it. Then El Chanam, you're allowed to do what you have to do. You have weeds, so stop weeding in an area that's growing things. There's also a type of malocha derabbanan to take out the weeds. But if you have the type of weeds that are going to choke out the plants that you have over there, then in such a case, you're allowed to take them out, even though you're doing something which is beneficial, but you're doing it to protect from some type of permanent damage.
Are there any issues of the time? People maybe see water in plants.
People know that that watering is permitted. To think that you're going to do too much.
And failing to guard the Jewish people, as I mentioned, make some sort of a seder, a sidur.
Garden. Yeah, now you could pay him during Shemitah. That's not a problem. Sorry? You could pay him during Shemitah. Yeah. Like I said, that's up to you. How to set it up. As far as fertilizing, most of the trees will go through the year without any fertilizer. So there's really no need to do that in the middle of the year. A certain type of plants that are more delicate may need some more than one time of the year. Then once again, this is something to discuss with your gardener. What is really necessary, what's not. Yeah. As far as cutting off the branches of a tree, so here we run into a little delicate thing. Why? Because watering is clearly no shaykhus to any Yisra D'oraisa and Shemitah and pesticides and the like. But cutting off branches is very similar to the Melacha D'oraisa of Zoyme. Zoyme is pruning a grapevine. So there's room for discussion, according to that, that any time you're cutting off branches from a tree, that's a type of zoyma. So lemaisa, the Chazon Ish held that with various proofs, that the only time that's a malacha of zoyma is by a grapevine. By other trees, that's not considered malacha of zoyma. The med zmira, pruning by a grapevine, is not just cutting the branches. It's a very technical thing that there's a specific point in the branch where you cut it so that it should have extra fruit the next year. It's not just to make it look nicer or whatever else it is. So, but, as we said before, even if you're cutting off branches from another tree or you're not doing it in the fashion of a zoyim, but if it's something that's beneficial for the tree, that still is within the Issur Rabbanan. So, basically, to cut off branches of a tree for no reason, one should not, or to make it look nicer or whatever else, one should not do that during Shemitah. If the branches that have some type of sickness or something or there are bugs on them that could spread to the rest of the tree, then for sure that will be permitted, because that's, like we said before, preventing damage.
But if, like Zman said, everything's the Ravana, I don't see the difference between what's the rice and what's the
bug. That's a good point, but Lemaisa, when Chazal permitted things, they permitted certain malachas, and they didn't differentiate between the fact that there's going to come a point of time that the whole thing's going to be the Rabban.
Certainly the Rabban should be less.
I understand, but it's not necessarily so. In other words, it could be like you're saying that now everything's Rabban and maybe it's different, but it could be that Chazal, initially, they said these malachas were permitting, these were not permitting, and they didn't change it. Very often we see that the Rabban came to Raisa. It's the same format as the Raisa, it just happens to be the Rabban, because now we don't have the same situation, that we had then. But since it's a continuation of the previous thing, very often the Chacham do keep it in the same format. Okay, so that's already nogea to what Mike also mentioned before. So like this. If there are a whole bunch of malachas, there are buttons which are nogea to clearing off an area, like if you have stones there or you have weeds over there and you take it and you clear them off in order grow in that area, that's also a type of melacha derabanan. It's like a derabanan plowing. You're making the ear clean so that you should be able to plant on it. That's one form of it. Now you're talking about a situation where you're not doing it to plant, because everything's planted already. You're just taking them out because people want to use the yard, and it gets in their way if there's a thorn bush growing in the middle of the yard, something like that. Or, like you're saying, there's branches that are in the area that you want to use and they're disturbing you. So in a place, there's a raya from a Gemara that, and a Hanami, that if it's clear that you're doing it so that your area that you want to use will be usable, that is permitted. Anyway, not doing a melacha deraisa, and as far as the derabanan, that it may be beneficial, but you're not going out of your way to do it in a way that's beneficial for the tree. You're just doing it in a way to be able to use the area that is permitted. So also, if you have some type of junk on the or leaves that come onto your garden, you just want to use it for your personal use. So if you're taking off the leaves just to make things grow better, then that's definitely a problem. If it's disturbing the use of the area, then that's also a type of heter. So if also you have branches going the way, like you said, for the sukkah, or you have a path and it's getting in the way of the path, and it's clear that this is something that's disturbing the use of the area, and that is permitted. There's a whole big shaila by the new buildings. A lot of the new buildings, when they're building it, they had pile up all the soilus, all the junk leftovers from the building, and they pile it off usually where they're planning to make the garden. And then when they're finishing up everything, they clean it off and then they put it in the garden. So if that area you're planning to use as a garden afterwards, there would be a problem taking off the soilus over there on Shemitah, because you're really doing an act of preparing it for planting. If the area underneath it is the area which you're planning to pave, then it's no problem, because you're not preparing it for planting, you're preparing it for just using it for a walkway. But if it's a place that is planned to be used as a place for planting, then that could be a problem. And one should ask a shayla if to do it or how to do it. Yeah. Yes, if someone has eats a toiva, they have no problems with your grass and shvita, get synthetic grass. it survives very nicely. And you're allowed to put it on in the shmita also. Because really, you basically can, by putting synthetic grass, you're converting it from like a gino or a field or whatever to a walkway. It's just, instead of putting cement on it, you're putting synthetic. Yeah, so that you shouldn't do on shmita. Yeah, that's going to be all mesivas nefesh for shmita. You may be able to find somebody that's going to be matter, but I recommend a little bit. I remember I had an uncle that wanted to move from Switzerland to Israel 50 years ago. And one of the gedolim told him, don't move now, it's too complicated. But those days it's bemet complicated. If you wanted to really be shame it properly, it was hard to find food, hard to find anything. Baruch Hashem, nowadays, it's much easier. You have a very simple thing, is that if you want it for beauty, you're going to cut it all around in the same, you want to keep it symmetrical. Yeah, but if you just cut off on one side and the other side stays wild, or going up wild, then it's clear that you're doing it just so you should be able to pass by.
It's not interfering. It's okay to cut it flat to wherever the bush.
Once again, if it's disturbing you, but
yes,
yeah. I know what you're saying, yeah.
Like, should I cut it extra short before the Shemitah year starts, or?
I don't know if you're going to gain much, because you're going to have to do it anyway in Shemitah, probably by the time it grows back. But, for example, the things that are to prevent it from nezek definitely are tchuya, that if you can do it beforehand, you should do it beforehand. These things could be that you're not mechuyev to do it beforehand, yeah. The reason why one would want to do beforehand is he just doesn't want to get into, sometimes it's, avoid all the gray areas. You just get rid of it beforehand. Yeah. Okay, as far as house plants. So there's two nakudas of why the things growing in the house are more kala. And in Shemitah it says sodcho lo tizra, which means that your field should not be planted, which implies that the Isser Shemitah refers to something which is defined as a field. On the other hand, there's another pasuk that says shavso ha'oretz Shabbos Lashem, which is mashma the earth. It doesn't have to be technically a field. Any type of earth is included. So based on this, the Yerushalmi b'emet has a selfik. It says that Trumas HaMaisis, which is totally in a soda, if you grow something in your house, it's potter from Trumas HaMaisis. But Orla, if you have a tree that over there doesn't say Oretz, that doesn't say soda, over there if you have a tree which you grow in your house, it is bound by the rules of Orla. So Shemitah has, one time it says soda, one time it says Oretz, so suffix in the Yerushalmi, if you plant something in your house, is it bound by the laws of Shemitah or not? That's a suffix. We're starting off with Atzei Sheinu Nokov. Yeah, Mamas, you have an old fashioned house without balatot. We'll get to or Atzei Nokov also. Yeah, okay. You're bringing up some terms. So let's just explain the terms you're saying. So self talking about Mamas, if you have an old fashioned home without tiles on the floor and you have earth on the ground, and even if you plant in the earth of your ground, it's a suffix if it's bound by the Hilchos Shemitah, because you're growing in a house, it's not a field. That's one suffix. And the discussion how we pass on the suffix. Lamaisa, most of the poskim today do not say that, well, it's a suffix, and like you pointed out before, today's the Rabbanan, suffix the Rabbanan Lakula. Lamaisa Chazon Ish held that this type of suffix the Rabbanan we're not making, like we said before, because the only reason why it's the Rabbanan is because today's the Rabbanan. But something that initially was the Raisa and it got transformed to the Rabbanan, we're still mapping around that suffix. Lamaisa, that's a scum of most of the poskim, not all of them. That to plant something mamish into in your house is a problem. Now, there's something other than planting that's a kamufan, not so common. Most people don't have earthen floors anymore, but there's flower pots. So we know in halacha there's two types of flower pots. There's a flower pot which is nokuf, which has a hole in it, and there's one without a hole in it. The difference between the two is the one that has a hole in it is considered connected to the ground because it still has some nutritional or whatever you want to call it connection to the ground through the hole. The one that does not have a hole, that is considered detached from the ground. So now, let's say the best case scenario. You're inside your house, and your flower pot does not have a hole in the bottom. So we have two reasons to be lenient over here. One reason to be lenient over here, because it's in the house. And another thing is because it's in this flower pot that does not have a hole in it, which is also, Mikra did not consider part of the ground. Now, even so, it's not clear that it's mutter, because both of these are definitely not the Raisa, but there's shitas that hold that it's not the Raisa, but still it's the Rabbanan. For example, if you grow in your if you grow something in a flower pot that does not have a hole in it, so even though the Raisa it's potter from Trumas HaMaisis, the Rabbanan is chayv in Trumas HaMaisis. So we see that just because in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole doesn't make it automatically totally not shayach to the mitzvahs of Tluis Boris. It knocks it down from the Raisa to Rabbanan. Is it mutter completely? It's not clear. It's a whole discussion. So anyway. So, if you have both together, that it's inside the house and the flower pot does not have a hole in it, you have both of these clues together over here. Chazon Ish and many other of the poskim said, we have both of them together, you can be lenient and you do not have to be shomer all the halachos of Shemitah. Lemaisa, even so, the poskim didn't say nothing to talk about. There's what to talk about. But since most of the things you're doing is anyway the Rabbanans, we have another Rabbanan. All the type of taking care of you have a thing that's already planted. Everything you're going to do once it's planted are all the Rabbanans. The watering and the cutting of branches, like we said before, putting fertilizer, they're all the Rabbanans. So since it's in the house in a flat pot that doesn't have a hole in it, and you're doing the Rabbanans, that we hold is permitted. But
it's too close. Why is the Rabbanus because of the servant? It's too close. Why can't the servant? What's the reason they want the Rabbanta the servant?
What? In which case?
It's too close.
So far we said it's mutter.
And as it's your in the house.
So we said that that's permitted, but the since it's still a tzirif of a bunch of svekas, and it's not so clear, therefore to plant in them, we do not permit planting in it. If you have some special need to plant something for health reasons, ask a shayla. There may be reason to believe it. But if there's no special reason for it, Shemitah is not the time to plant new house plants just because you have the otzis she'enu nokuv and it's in the house. But anything else, if you have these two conditions, you could take care of your plant without any limitations. Now, the question is, when is it considered otzis she'enu nokuv? Here comes much more complicated.
What about the balconies on the
92nd floor? Yeah. Yeah. Before you know it, look, if you can have it in Tel Aviv, you can have it here. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good question. So, once again, a balcony on the 92nd floor. So, if it's an open balcony, so you do not have both of them because you're not inside a house. Right. So, over there in the Chanami, we would be machmir not to do everything. Now, once again, it doesn't mean you have to let them die because he said before, anything that's necessary to keep it going is permitted. So the basic thing you need for house plants is to water them. And that we said before, that even if you don't have all these extra tables, even if you have an open balcony and the like, but to water it, you're permitted to water it. How much to water it? Don't give it a super watering. But here you have to be careful. Don't be over machmeh, because if you don't have a lot of earth and you wait for the thing to start wilting, you may be post-mortem already. It may be too late to revive it. But You water it sparingly, but you don't have to wait, like I said, till it shows sign of close to death. Now, to have the heter, like we're saying, lachatchile, which is otzis sheino nokuv and inside house, it becomes more complicated. What's considered technically otzis sheino nokuv, a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it? So first of all, it has to be made out of a material that stops the yanika. Doesn't let things go. But today, the practical material is plastic. Any of the types of plastic or vinyls are enough. So if you have a plastic plate underneath a pot or a piece of plastic vinyl or whatever it is, that's enough to render what's on top of that plastic as a flapper that does not have a hole. But there's another thing. There's a Mishnah in Uksim, believe it or not, that it's a whole discussion how to learn Pshat in the Mishnah, but many Achareim learn the Pshat Mishnah that if you have something in a flapper that does not have a hole, but the branches go outside of it, the fact that branches are going outside of it also connects it to the ground. So everybody's looking at me, what's the rabbi? All these schooners are right today. So once again, we're back to our thing. In Shemitah, we have an opportunity once in 7 years to be choshev for a few extra shitas. Gvaldik, why not? Yeah. If it makes problems with Shalom Bayi, send them to me, we'll work it out. Yeah. But so like we're saying, if you have the branches going out of it, it may still be considered halachically otzitz that does have a hole in it. Now, you basically pointed out before, but on the third floor, the fourth floor, what does it have to do with the ground underneath it? So here's an interesting thing. The ma'isa, there's room to say, like you're saying, that if I'm not on the ground floor anyway, so you can't treat that as being part of the ground. I'm a second story. But there is a discussion about that. The Arashitas that say since the structure is connected to the ground, then even the second story is considered connected to the ground. Chazanish held the tiles. This is maybe stone, it's a different thing, but the style that's made out of just out of cement that's mixed together also maybe not have the status of like the plastic. It's something that theoretically it is possible for there to be a transfer of moisture and things through these things. The bottom line is like this, after all this forest. If you're not on the ground floor, so if you want to get out of all the problems on Shemitah with your flower pots, it's enough to put the plastic under the flower pot itself. We said before, if the branches go out, there's a chumra to consider connected to the ground. To put that chumra together with the second floor, once again, if you want to be machmir, tov lecha bracha, but the ma'aseh gedolei poskim relied on that combination. That if you're not on the ground floor, and the pot itself has plastic underneath it, then you can do whatever you want with the thing. If you are on the ground floor, or you're not inside of the house, like we said before, or you don't have any plastic underneath your flower pot, you have a flower pot with a hole in it, all those situations. So then we revert back to the halachas that we said by the field, which basically means you still are allowed to do things that are necessary to keep it alive and prevent it from permanent damage, but you're not allowed to do things that are going to make it grow better. If you have, Oh, yeah, Vrucha Kodesh. I'm about to start there. Yeah, very good. So the avocado pits you'll save for there for a year later. Yeah, that's not a big deal. But there are people though that for medical reasons they have sprouted grains that they let them sprout a little bit and then they grind them up and it's supposed to be very healthy. Takes out some of the gluten and all kind of other things. So like this, the way the sprouting is done is l'chayra. You have over here, you're doing it inside the house. You're doing generally a glass jar, which is also considered a flower pot, which is eino nokuf. Now, if you're doing just like the case of the wheat, it's a vada good. The case of the wheat, once again, the way you sprout wheat is you put in the water till like a little thing starts coming out of it, and then you grind it up. So you're not really growing the plant; you're just letting it germinate. So since you have no intention to let it grow, you're just germinating there. That for sure is permitted. If you're making sprouting, the type of sprouting that you have, the little leaves coming out, and that. So once again, if there's a need for it, there's definitely heter for it, because like you said before, it's otzer sheni nokov inside the house. If there's no need for it, then it's better to avoid that. Yeah. If you have a shayla, ask a shayla better. That's not so simple.
That would apply
for trumas and maizes also. Yeah. Something that grows in water. That says clearly that otzer she'eino nokuv, in other words, a flower pellet does not have a hole in it. It's chayv in trumas maizes midrabbanan. So, for various reasons, which I'm not going to get involved in today, you don't make a bracha in the trumas maizes over there for other reasons. But yeah. That's shaved to the next year. Depends what it is. If you have aloe vera, by the way, some people have in the garden, they have aloe vera for plants. So the sap that comes out of that doesn't have kedusha shvi'a. So you could use that in shmita also. Kamufan, as far as taking care of the plant, it's like any other plant here. Whatever is necessary for its survival or preventing it from permanent damage is permitted. Cannabis, okay. We'll discuss it later privately. It happens to be a cannabis. It's not food, even though some people live off of it. So once again, to plant cannabis is, if you have a issue from the government, misad shmita, it's a problem to plant it. But as far as svichim and tushu shviyas, pashas, it doesn't have tushu shviyas. Oh yeah, in the Hanami. So that's if you have a plant which was halachically considered like disconnected, either because it was a flower pot without a hole in it, or was in the ground, which is also suffering if it was chayiv. So like you're saying, to move from indoors to the porch, that would be a problem because you're upgrading its state. It's also nogei if you want to move something around in the house and you have a plastic plate underneath it. When you move it around, you should lachafila move it around with a plastic plate with it. If for whatever reason it is you forgot it, and then you put it back on the plastic plate.
Moving into a sukkah.
What? Into a sukkah. If the sukkah has a roof on, you have to move it in after you put the roof on. Yeah, once you put on the schach, it's like a house. It's not a problem. Yeah. So we said, lachetchila we are choshish for you. If it's on the ground floor.
Even if it is
tiles. It depends what type of tiles. If they're made out of stone, then it's definitely all right. If they're made out of this ground up cement and things, then chazan ishel is still a...
And then also to move such a thing over such tiles.
Yeah, I mean...
If
it started off in that area and you're just moving it around within that area, it's not a problem. Yeah. There's another thing also, if you happen to be moving it, and it will, let's say it was in a ain't no knock-up situation, like you want to clean the house or something, and you want to put it out for a few minutes before you, while you're cleaning for Pesach, and bring it back in again. So here's the discussion, but Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held that since over here, you're not doing it for the benefit of the growth of the thing. It's just a temporary situation, even though technically it could be considered that it became mechubel karka, but that's not considered a malocha of Shemitah. Because a malocha of Shemitah is you're doing something to work the land and have it grow. Here that you made a technical chibur to the karka, but you're not doing it for the intent for it to grow better, then that's all right. But if you put it outside for it, you know, in the summer you want it to grow better, or even if you had a double intention that you don't have room in your house and you're moving it out, but lemaisa, you're putting it into a situation that will stay there for a period of time and it will benefit from it, then that's something you shouldn't do.
What has Kedusha Shvi's
things
written away? What? What has Kedusha
Shvi's? We'll talk about next time.
You trim your tree and you're allowed to trim it?
No, that doesn't, the branches of the tree don't have Kedusha Shvi's. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it has a, you know, some amount of, that's a discussion. If it grew on Shemitah, yeah. Okay, we should be Zeichem Yitz Hashem. Mekayim the mitzvah of Shov Sor, as Shabbos LaHashem, and Hashem will say, you're giving the land to me, I'll show you it's mine. And bring the Gula, the Meir Yemeinu.